1994. Country Boy Comes Home. The game. Baltimore Orioles 6, Kansas City Royals 3 at Oriole Park at Camden Yards in Baltimore. Attendance 47,549 on Monday, April 4th, 1994. It was sunny and in the 60s. Hall of Famers: Oriole shortstop Cal Ripken Jr., pitcher Mike Mussina, designated hitter Harold Baines, and pitcher Lee Smith. Game highlights. Only one time during my streak did four future Hall of Fame players all contribute to a team's win on opening day. Oriole starter Mike Mussina gave up only two hits, and newly acquired free agent closer Lee Smith threw the game's final two pitches to earn the save. Smith was the only future Hall of Fame player I saw play on opening day for three different teams: the Chicago Cubs in 1982, Boston Red Sox in 1989, and the Baltimore Orioles in 1994. The position players this day who would eventually head to the Hall, Cal Ripken Jr. and Harold Baines, delivered two hits each. In addition to Smith, other members of Baltimore's off-season Hall of Free Agents delivered on opening day, including first baseman Rafael Palmeiro and third baseman Chris Sabo. Palmeiro's seventh-inning homer landed in the Camden Yards flag court beyond right field, while Sabo reached base twice. The new Orioles ownership group's winning bid at the August 1993 bankruptcy auction, more than $173 million, was at the time the highest price ever paid for a sports team in North America. Fans feared they wouldn't have enough left to compete for available players. They were wrong. In total, the team shelled out more than $40 million on free agent talent leading up to the 1994 season. Oh, if only there had been a 1994 postseason. When a player strike ended the season in August with 50 games left to play, the Orioles were only 2.5 games out of a playoff spot. The story. During most games over 40-plus seasons, Orioles fans have clapped and stomped their way through the seventh-inning stretch to the sound of John Denver's "Thank God I'm a Country Boy." After its debut at Memorial Stadium in the mid-1970s, the team made multiple attempts to try something different, and each time, fans objected, sometimes more loudly than others. When financier Eli Jacobs took control of the club in 1989, the song was silenced. The stodgy and socially awkward Jacobs didn't think it was an appropriate song for the stretch, preferring instead the more traditional "Take Me Out to the Ball Game." Fans objected. Jacobs didn't care. By opening day 1994, Jacobs was gone. Country Boy was back. It actually made its comeback with a few weeks remaining in the 1993 season, just hours after Jacobs' reign ended. With his financial enterprise in ruins, Jacobs was forced to sell the Orioles to partially pay off his creditors. He was more than $320 million in debt. On the afternoon of August 2, 1993, in a steamy New York City courtroom, New York art dealer Jeffrey Loria declined to continue bidding. An alliance formed between Baltimore lawyer Peter Angelos and Cincinnati investor William DeWitt prevailed, paying $173 million. Judge Cornelius Blackshear closed out the proceedings. Jacobs was done. That night, the Orioles played Milwaukee at Camden Yards. A mediocre outing by Baltimore starter Fernando Valenzuela had them trailing 5-3 heading into the bottom of the seventh inning. Jack Voigt led off with a home run, and Sherman Obando singled. With one on and nobody out, Brewers manager Phil Garner started walking to the mound. With a rally underway, a pitching change in process, and Jacobs no longer in charge, front office veteran and head of public affairs Dr. Charles Steinberg had a nostalgic idea. After quickly checking with team president Larry Lucchino, he let it crank. Country Boy ignited the capacity crowd of more than 46,000. Three more birds reached base and two more scored. The come-from-behind victory left fans giddy and started an 8-game winning streak. Since I passionately enjoyed Harry Carey's unique rendition of "Take Me Out to the Ball Game" between 1979 and 82, you'd think I would have aligned with Jacobs, but Country Boy had grown on me. I heard it often in the late 70s, but it never left an impression until the final game of the Orioles' 1982 season. Baltimore entered the final weekend needing a four-game sweep of first-place Milwaukee to give retiring manager Earl Weaver the send-off he deserved and his seventh AL East crown. After taking the first three games of the series, Memorial Stadium was electric for the finale. Future Hall of Fame pitchers Jim Palmer and Don Sutton squared off on national TV in a win-or-go-home showdown. With the Orioles trailing 4-1 in the seventh, the loudspeakers blared, "Country Boy." The crowd was pumped up. Cab driver Wild Bill Hagee took them even higher with his well-known cheerleading from Section 34 above the right field foul pole. Raising both arms over his head to form the letter O, he contorted while spelling out the team name. More than 50,000 fans screamed each letter,
O-R-I-O-L-E-S, Orioles!
Harry Carey this wasn't, but it was pretty darn cool. This was not the atmosphere I remembered from most Baltimore ho-hum opening days in the 70s in front of 10,000 or more empty seats. Hagee's exhortation during that final game in 82 wasn't enough. The Brewers scored six more runs, won the division, and fans bid a tearful farewell to the Earl of Baltimore. Jacob's tenure from 1989 to 93 wasn't the only time the Orioles messed with Country Boy. In 1983, in front of more than 50,000 frigid fans on opening day, they unveiled a custom-made new tune called That Magic Feeling, a failed attempt to reignite the Orioles' magic of the late 70s. In the next morning's Baltimore Sun, Bob Mazel weighed in. Instead of just sneaking it in, they had public address announcer Rex Barney say something like,
"For the last 7 years or so, you've clapped to John Denver's record of Thank God I'm a Country Boy. But in recent years, we've sensed you're tiring of it and need a change."
They sensed wrong. "The longer it went, the louder the boos," Mazel continued. "Before the birds came up in the eighth, Thank God I'm a Country Boy was back. People were clapping, singing, tapping their feet, yelling, having fun again, which is what a day at the ballpark is all about, right?" Absolutely, Bob. An extraordinary opportunity to make it right with the fans presented itself to the Orioles brass later that season. They arranged for John Denver to perform Country Boy live atop the Orioles dugout during Game 1 of the 1983 World Series. Country Boy has been a staple at Orioles games almost continuously since it reached the top of the charts in 1975. Quote, "The Orioles soon began playing it over the sound system at Memorial Stadium, although back then no one envisioned the enormous appeal the song would have for O's fans," reported the Sun's Kevin Coward shortly after Denver's tragic death in October 1997. "The whole thing started just by accident," said Bob Brown, the Orioles PR director from 1968 to 89. Frank Cashin, then the O's general manager, said, "I'm tired of all this old-timers music with the organs. Let's play something a little more current. Try to get the kids interested." "We experimented with a lot of seventh-inning stretch songs. When we got a strong fan reaction from Country Boy, we tried it again and again. And every time, we got the same reaction." The Orioles strayed from Country Boy a few more times. According to Coward, it, quote, "was replaced by Rick Dempsey's video version of old-time rock and roll as the seventh-inning stretch song in the second half of the 1986 season. Early 1987, a variety of songs, including Twist and Shout by the Beatles and Shout by the Isley Brothers, were used during the stretch." But by the middle of that year, Country Boy was back, Coward continued, and it remained a staple of the seventh inning until Eli Jacobs bought the Orioles in 1988. Jacobs decreed that the Andrews Sisters version of Take Me Out to the Ballgame would be played during the stretch, and despite widespread protestations from Orioles fans, Country Boy was not played again during the seventh inning stretch until Peter Angelos bought the team in 1993. Perhaps another reason Country Boy grew on me had to do with love. During the 1983 postseason, I took my fiancée, Kate, like me, a John Denver fan, to her first Major League Baseball game so she could see my Chicago White Sox play the AL East champion Orioles. While she did not yet quite understand this baseball thing, she figured any sport that encouraged 50,000 people to sing and dance with John Denver must be okay. 14 years later, in September 1997, she and I attended our sixth and final John Denver concert, this one a benefit performance for cystic fibrosis at the then Baltimore Arena. That afternoon, we took in the Orioles game against the Detroit Tigers at Camden Yards. The seventh inning included a surprise guest atop the O's dugout, John Denver himself. 3 weeks later, he was gone. John was killed in a tragic accident when the experimental plane he was piloting crashed into the Pacific Ocean just off the coast of Monterey Beach, California. A generation later, fans continue to clap, sing, tap, yell, and have fun with Country Boy, because, to quote Bob Mazel, that's what a day at the ballpark is all about, right? For the box score, play-by-play, and a personal photo of the Orioles tribute to John Denver, visit openingday5050.com.